Everyone's keeping an eye on Dubai.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's the Morning Open, a look at the broader economy as trading gets underway for the day. Debt problems in Dubai have caused stock markets to tumble. We ask here, where's Wall Street? Markets are down right now. The S&P and NASDAQ both down more than 2% right now. The Dow off about 194 points at 10,269. European shares have rebounded from heavy losses yesterday when American markets were closed. And overnight, Asian stocks plunged. The Hang Seng tanked by nearly 5%. The Nikkei lost about 3.25%. The Chinese benchmark was off about 2% as well overnight. Dubai World says for now it's unable to start paying back its debt to the tune of $60 billion. It's one of the state-owned conglomerates of the Kingdom of Dubai. And Marketplace European correspondent Stephen Beard is with us now to talk about the worldwide implications of all that. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
Gosh, Stephen, $60 billion, I mean, relative to the huge sums of bad debt that we've heard about during this financial crisis, I mean, it doesn't seem like a lot of money. Why is the concern about Dubai World so intense?
Well, $60 billion of declared debt. The fear is it could be a lot more than that, perhaps in excess of $100 billion, and that the total debts of government-backed companies in Dubai could exceed 100% of the city-state's GDP. So that's raised the specter of a government default, and that, in these jittery conditions, has raised fears of other governments defaulting. In fact, the cost of insuring against default by other countries like Russia, even Greece and Ireland, jumped sharply yesterday.
You know, Stephen, when we think of countries in the Persian Gulf, we assume that there's a lot of oil, that they're rich and flush with all this cash. I mean, how is it possible that Dubai is in this situation?
Dubai itself hasn't got any oil, but its neighboring emirate, its fellow emirate, Abu Dhabi, has. It's pumping 2.5 million barrels a day and has a sovereign wealth fund, the largest in the world, worth $600 billion. And some people indeed are saying Abu Dhabi is not going to allow Dubai to go bust. However, Abu Dhabi has only so far let a little bit of money trickle into Dubai. It's clear that it's not going to pay all of Dubai's debts. And so the big uncertainty is which banks, which bondholders are not going to be repaid. That's the thing that's unnerving markets.
All right. Marketplace's European correspondent Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
We know what else is going on today. Millions of Americans are hitting the stores and the shopping centers for Black Friday deals. You may be one of those looking for specials today, and as Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports, retailers are rolling out some new tools for the savvy shopper.
Retailers are using online and mobile sites more than ever to attract holiday shoppers. If you're a fan of Best Buy on Facebook, you may have already heard this little ditty.
If you've only one computer, your family could become a bunch of raving lunatics. But we've got good news, we have a sweet deal.
The Financial Times reports Best Buy published its Black Friday deals early by targeting its million or so Facebook fans. The electronics chain is also using the microblogging site Twitter, and more than a dozen retailers have launched sites for your smartphone.
And it's really taking away from some of the cost of their marketing as well.
Scott Krugman of the National Retail Federation says new media ads are often much cheaper.
So they can rely on more than just email, Sunday circulars, and television commercials. They can really reach the consumer directly where they live.
And there's some evidence these efforts may be connecting with consumers. A Deloitte survey found almost 20% of Americans plan to shop with mobile devices this season. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
German steelmaker ThyssenKrupp reported a loss today of $2.8 billion for its fiscal year. It's also announced plans to cut 5,000 jobs and sell some of its divisions. Toyota says it's slashing bonus pay for managers. Winter bonus payments for 8,700 of them in Japan will be cut by one-fifth. In addition to their monthly salaries, Japanese workers at major companies such as Toyota get twice-a-year bonus pay that reflects the company's performance. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Friday, November 27th, 2009, at marketplace.org. Today is the big day for the sales, the big markdowns that have people pushing and pulling. The National Retail Federation Trade Group expects Black Friday crowds to be bigger this year than last, but one retail consultant says spending for the weekend won't do much better. One mall in St. Louis could be in store for a bump, courtesy of the Missouri Department of Transportation. Reporter Adam Allington has more.
The St. Louis Galleria and its 130 shops sit right off of Interstate 64, the city's main east-west freeway. You might think that's a pretty good location, except that a 10-mile stretch of the freeway past the mall has been closed for 2 years. In the meantime, shoppers have had to rely on a network of detours that in theory was meant to keep traffic to the mall flowing. But it didn't work out that way for all shoppers. Earl Dorsett is the general manager of the St. Louis Galleria Mall.
If the alternate routes were not easily accessible to somebody, I'm sure they made decisions to stay at home or to do other things.
Christmas is coming early this year for Dorsett and Galleria shop owners. The state's planning to reopen I-64 early next month. Now the trick is to lure back shoppers like Karen McKinley, who've cut back on trips to the mall and grown used to shopping online.
I'll wait 7 to 10 days for it to be shipped from the internet if it really comes down to it.
But you can't order everything online. Blake Bailiff is a manager of a P.F. Chang's restaurant, which in the past has relied on clientele from across the region.
We anticipate to get a huge bump. We really think that opening up the highway is going to really help us out and get those people again from Illinois.
And it's not just store owners who are happy to see the freeway reopen. The contractors in charge of the project will get an extra $5 million for finishing construction on time and under budget. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
You know, advertising revenues have been hit pretty hard in this economic downturn. Spending reportedly is down more than 10%. But that's not the only bad news on Madison Avenue. A growing number of clients wants to withhold some pay from ad agencies unless their marketing campaigns work. Lily Fowler explains.
Procter & Gamble is the world's biggest advertiser. Last year, the company spent close to $8 billion hawking everything from Pampers to Swiffer Mops. So when P&G decided it wanted to change the way it pays for advertising, it put Madison Avenue on notice.
We're going to pay them for good work, and we're going to reward them with extra compensation if the brand grows and they perform well.
Richard Delcourt is P&G's finance director. He says the company used to pay ad agencies based on how many hours they worked, a measurement called billable hours. But now P&G is switching to a payment system based on performance. In place of billable hours, P&G pays a flat fee and offers back-end performance bonuses if an agency's ad campaign boosts sales. The bonus is around 10% of all new sales. P&G has these performance deals for more than 70 of its largest brands.
Once you switch to Swiffer SweeperVac,
P&G isn't the only big advertiser making a change. Coke says it will cover an ad agency's cost to create a campaign. And if the campaign pays off in higher sales, the agency gets up to a 30% bonus. Ron Baker is founder of the Verisage Institute, a think tank dedicated to doing away with the billable hour.
It's holding the agency to account for results, whereas under the billable hour, it was just, hey, I spent the time.
But the performance-based system comes at a tough time. The auto and retail sectors have slashed marketing budgets, and ad agencies have cut tens of thousands of jobs. And this new way of doing business could hit smaller agencies especially hard. Steve Cascella is chief financial officer for Ground Zero, an ad agency in Los Angeles.
Nobody's in this business to work for nothing. And I would argue the problem with putting such an emphasis on results, where 100% of the agency's profit is locked into certain results achievement, is it assumes that the agency has control of all the variables that determine success. That couldn't be further from the truth.
Like, what if the product is poorly made, or if its price is too high?
The agency gets punished for it?
Cascella thinks agencies and companies should agree on a fair price for their services and leave it at that. I'm Lily Fowler for Marketplace.
Every department store has its mainstay brands, well-known labels that customers come to expect. But as Andrea Gardner explained, several labels are packing up and preparing to lay roots in new homes, and that could cause some consumer confusion.
Clothing brands Dana Buchman, Liz Claiborne, and Ellen Tracy are all moving down market. They've all inked deals with lower-priced department stores, and it feels like a retail musical chairs. Buchman will move out of Saks Fifth Avenue and be sold exclusively at Kohl's. Tracy, which was a staple at Nordstrom, will go to Macy's, and Liz Claiborne is headed from Macy's to JCPenney. Moving down market is not something most brands want to do, but Candace Corlett with WSL Strategic Retail says labels like Liz are losing their luster as many women choose trendier brands. So you do what you gotta do.
They've done their homework and they've calculated that they're going to pick up more JCPenney shoppers than they're losing at Macy's. This is their second wind.
And what's a brand to do when it needs a revival after the second wind? Corlette says they find a third wind.
They go to Walmart.
That's home sweet home for brands like Jordache, OP, and Norma Kamali. In Los Angeles, I'm Andrea Gardner for Marketplace.
The rising cost of tuition at universities and colleges is a problem for many families all across the country. And the Lone Star State of Texas thought it had the right approach to keeping tuition affordable. But as Texas Public Radio's David Martin Davies reports, the program is under stress from the very problem it was meant to solve.
Those are the tower bells of the University of Texas in Austin. And these days, the bells toll for the Texas Tomorrow Fund. It's a prepaid college plan that locked in tuition rates. Texas closed it to newcomers in 2003, and since then, tuition at Texas public universities spiked 86%. Now the fund is expected to run out of money in about 5 years.
I went through the roof. My husband and I both were so angry about it.
Kathy Thomas signed up for the Texas Tomorrow Fund. She's worried the fund won't be solvent when her daughter needs it. To save money on the fund, Texas tried to change the cash-out rule. Instead of being paid out based on today's tuition, the fund will reimburse only the amount paid into the fund minus fees. The so-called investment would get no earnings.
I wrote a lot of letters and a lot of letters to the editor. I think I sent one to my state rep and state senator.
The outcry from Thomas and other angry contract holders forced that rule change to be rescinded. Meanwhile, Texas needs a solution for the fund. It's going to require $2 billion to make good on its promise. Texas Comptroller spokesperson R.J. DeSilva.
The state will be paying money into the plan because it's guaranteed, and families that use it will be getting their tuition and required fees paid for.
State lawmakers will have to defuse this ticking budget time bomb in 2011 when they come back to Austin in earshot of those tolling UT bells. In Austin, I'm David Martin Davies for Marketplace.
And finally, in Britain, health officials are slamming a new beer that is an intoxicating 32% alcohol. It's called Brewdog's Tactical Nuclear Penguin. But the head of a group called Alcohol Focus Scotland says the penguin beer is as strong as whiskey and questions whether it really is beer. The brewer says Penguin really is about pushing boundaries. It's certainly about pushing the pocketbook. The brew goes for about $50 a bottle. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.